So this morning, what we're going to do is we had hoped to conclude our series of messages on restoration, but it's not going to happen. So we will conclude it sometime in January. But I'm continuing today on the message that I've titled, Paul Speaks to the Ephesian Elders. Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders, and we will find that in Acts chapter 20. We'll read from verse 17 to verse 38. And even before we read, I just want to tell you where we are going. We're going to look at three things, really: Paul's message, Paul's mission, and our ministry. Message, mission, ministry, as we look at these verses. Can we read from chapter 20, verse 17? It reads as follows. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction awaits me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to the grace to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. So, Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We pray that you will open our eyes to its truth and quicken us. And we pray that you would give much grace to us and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we will unpack this story As I said, looking at Paul's message to these guys that he's meeting on the beach of the place called Miletus. And then we're going to look at his ministry, his understanding of, rather his mission. And then lastly, we'll look at our ministry. But before we get into the first point, let's just look for the purpose of orientating ourselves to the story. Let's look at what is happening. Paul is in a place called Miletus. Miletus is about 32 kilometers or so south of Ephesus. And he is meeting on the beach on his way to Jerusalem. And he was under enormous time constraints because he wanted to reach Jerusalem by Pentecost. And he had these gifts of all the money that he had received from the churches in Macedonia because of the famine in Jerusalem that was prophesied. And he's wanting to take these gifts and be on time for Pentecost there. So he says, I've got no time to get inland into Ephesus. So he calls for the elders to meet him 30 kilometers away, about a day's journey. But what has happened is that he has spent enormous time with these guys. That's why he's able to meet them almost casually, because he had spent 3 years in Ephesus. This is the greatest amount of time that Paul spent anywhere that we know of. He didn't spend this amount of time in Corinth. He didn't spend this time in Philippi, Thessalonica, or anywhere else. But he had devoted 3 years of ministry amongst these guys. And before this journey, what had happened is that he had gone up to Troas, not finding Titus there. He goes into Macedonia, Philippi, and those areas. And then he goes down to Greece. And you find that from verse 1, which we didn't have time to look at. And initially, when he was in Corinth, his desire was to minister to Corinth, receive the gifts, and then go via Ephesus to Jerusalem. But he heard that the Jews had plotted to kill him. So he double backs, goes back into Macedonia, Troas. An interesting event happened while he was in Troas. A young man by the name of Eutychus, who was listening to Paul preaching, he dropped out of class and he dropped to his death. He was 3 stories high. Paul was preaching a very long service. And as he was preaching, this guy dozed off, fell, and died. And the scriptures, I encourage you to look at that story, because there wasn't much fanfare, it seems to me, on Paul's side. He went down, the 3 stories down, picked this guy up, and almost like Jesus, he said, this guy's just sleeping. So he goes up with this young man to the 3rd floor, puts him down, and the Bible says he continued to speak for a long time. And this guy revived, I think, as Paul was speaking, almost not even caring much about the fact that he had died. He had such faith that God is going to raise him up that he continued to speak the word of the Lord. And so this brings us to our first point, where Paul meets the Ephesian elders on the beach. And that point is Paul's message. What did Paul say to these guys? And as you look at this message, of Paul's message to them, you'll see that it is divided into 2 parts. There is the content of what he says, but there is also conduct. In as far as Paul is concerned, the gospel doctrine produces gospel culture, and it sustains gospel culture. You would see that he had said this a similar thing to the believers in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, when we were there, and he was there only 3 weeks with the Thessalonians, he says, when I was amongst you, we were gentle amongst you, like a mother nursing her own children. And then he says, we are so affectionately desirous of you that we decided that we would share not only the gospel of God, but our very selves also, because you had become dear to us. You see what Paul is saying? He's saying, my message is more than just the content of what I'm saying. I'm sharing not only the gospel of God, He says, but I was sharing my very self to you. To Paul, there is not only content, there is conduct. There is not only a man, but there is a message. It's not only preaching, but practice. It's not only action, right? It's not only ethics, but, or information, but also ethics. He says, what makes the gospel message powerful is not just the words that are spoken, but it is the conduct that proves the truthfulness of the message itself. And I was thinking as I was there worshiping the Lord and looking at the Lord's table and thinking to myself, this illustrates my point. We believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, not primarily because of what he has said, but we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ primarily because of what he did. The gospel is rooted in the very life of Jesus Christ himself. He didn't just send us a message. He sent his very self. He died. That's what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, this is the gospel that I declare to you, that Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Our conduct is as important as our message. And so he says in verse 18, he says to these guys, you yourselves know how I lived amongst you the whole time from the very first day that I set foot in Asia. Well, how we need to hear this message today. That it is not just about sharing the gospel with words, but it is important that our conduct matches the words that we speak. He says, you elders of all people, you know my conduct. You know how I lived amongst you. Paul wasn't a celebrity pastor. He wasn't a guy who comes and is invited and he sleeps in hotels where nobody knows where he's at. Where he comes and he's not accountable and nobody knows about him. He says, I lived amongst you. And you are witnesses of how I carried myself. And what was the conduct? His conduct, he says, I served the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I served with all humility and with tears. What a genuine minister of the gospel. Where did the tears come from? The tears came from the persecution and the trials that he experienced. We have seen that there's a guy called Demetrius who, because Paul had upset the trade and idolatry that was based on the goddess Artemis, this guy caused a major riot. And Paul had experienced great difficulty in Ephesus. He speaks about fighting without and fears within. He escaped death many, many times. And moreover, he says, in every city that he went, he says, I don't know. He says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem with all of these gifts. And he says, and I don't know what is awaiting me in Jerusalem, except there was here comes the prophecy. Who wants a word of prophecy? Who wants to be prophesied to? He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that afflictions await me. Is that the prophecy they want to receive? The Holy Spirit testifying to you in every city that you go to. Paul says the Holy Spirit was speaking, was saying, affliction awaits you. There is another thing. It will be a little bit of a detour. But there's a guy called Agabus who was a prophet in one of the cities. I think it was in Philippi. Agabus takes a belt. Apparently, it was a belt that was used to put money in and things like that. And it belonged to Paul. Possibly, he had all the money that had been given in the churches. He's taking it to Jerusalem. This guy takes the belt. He binds himself with it. And he says, the owner of this belt is going to be bound by the Jews in Jerusalem. And then other people said, no ways, Paul, you are not going to Jerusalem. And Paul says, please stop breaking my heart like that and cry. Because I'm prepared not only to suffer in Jerusalem, but I am prepared to give my very life. My life is not precious to me. I know that I'm in the will of God. The Holy Spirit himself testifies. So I want to encourage us that we bring alignment between what we preach with our mouths and the conduct that proves the genuineness of the message that is coming out of our mouths. And so let's look at the content. He talks about testifying to the gospel of grace. That's what he calls it, the gospel of grace. He talks about proclaiming the kingdom. He talks about declaring the whole counsel of God in verse 27. But the question still is, what was Paul's message? We've seen that it was accompanied by his conduct. But what was the message that was preached by Paul? Luke summarizes it, in verse 21. And he says, Paul says, I preached, verse 21, testifying to both Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how Luke summarizes Paul's message. Every time Paul stood on the pulpit, regardless of what it is he was saying, at the center of his message was repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This interests me, this whole phrase of repentance towards God. Because if you look at the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he doesn't call it repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the same two key words, repentance and faith. But in Hebrews it says, repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Here Paul says, repentance towards God. It's almost as if he's interchanging repentance and faith. And I think the reason is because repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have true faith without true repentance. And you cannot have genuine repentance without faith. Repentance is turning away in order to turn towards. There is a negative aspect of repentance, the turning away. And then there is also a positive aspect of repentance, a turning towards. And you turn away because you cannot come to God while you are holding on to idols. And that is where repentance comes in. I love the fact that he decided to emphasize the positive aspect of repentance, almost speaking as repentance, as if repentance was faith. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never preached moralism, never preached legalism. He preached the grace of God. He preached repentance. He preached faith. He presented God himself to us in his message and gospel. And this leads us to our second point. What was Paul's mission? We've dealt with his message to these guys, and that his message was not just words, but also conduct. And at the heart of his message was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and faith. But secondly, we look at his mission. In verse 24, he gives us clue to a sense of mission that he had. Listen to his words. He says, but I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You couldn't derail Paul from his mission. He knew precisely what it was that God had called him to. It is summarized for us in the book of Acts in two places, when one of those is in Acts chapter 26, verse 15. to verse 19, and I will summarize it for us. He says something to the effect that the Lord appeared to him at his salvation and said to him, "For I have appeared to you for this purpose." This is your mission, Paul. "To appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you." So we see that this guy's mindset in everything that he did, in every city, and this one is no exception, Ephesus or Miletus, as he speaks to these guys, he had a very clear sense of mission and calling. May I pause there to encourage you to do the same? If you don't have a clear sense of mission and calling, your time and your priorities are going to go into other things that are unimportant. But this guy says, "I will not be veered away from my course. I'm going to finish it." And he knew that his course was not a positive one. He knew that he's going to Rome. That was his ultimate destination. That's to the ends of the earth. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the world," and the very coastal lands, ends of the world, known world to these guys, was the upper limits of Rome. And he says, "That's where I'm going. That's where God has called me." And there is tribulation, there is trials, there is tears, but I will not be moved from the course that God has appointed for me. He was consistent and stable. He says, "I did not cease from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I did not shrink." He uses those kinds of words. And he says he was admonishing and declaring the word of the Lord. This brings us to our third and final point, our ministry. It's interesting to me that Paul has called these guys, and they have traveled a day's journey from Ephesus to Miletus to meet him at the beach. He just disembarks from the ship, meets with them, gets back into the ship and goes to Jerusalem. And he speaks largely about himself. He spoke about his own message. He says, you know what I taught you and what I was preaching the whole time I was here. And you know my mission. Why does he do that? I think it's because to Paul, his conduct was very important. And he's essentially saying to these guys, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to tell you, I'm not telling you what I did not demonstrate to you the whole time that I was here. And only lastly does he come to them and to their own mission, and by extension to us and our own ministry. And what does he say to them? Verse 28, he says to them, after talking about how innocent he is of their blood and how he's declared the whole counsel of God, he says, "Pay attention." I skipped the word. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." The word overseers is the word that is used also for bishop, or it's interchangeable in the Bible with pastor or with elder. Same thing in the Bible. He says you need to pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Again, you see how Paul inverts things. He's speaking to elders, and he's saying to them, not pay careful attention to your message, as important as that is. He's saying to them, pay careful attention to yourselves. Your conduct matters. It will either emphasize and amplify your message, or it will undermine what it is that you are trying to say. And before you say, well, this is a message to elders and I'm not an elder, I want to hasten to say, If you look at the book of Timothy, that where Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him concerning the pastors and elders and people like that, you will see that all of those instructions are the instructions that are not superior to what is expected of all Christians. All Christians likewise are supposed to pay careful attention to themselves. I want to encourage you this morning, pay careful attention to your character. Not only to what you are saying to people in your workplace, but what is your character? Paul says, you yourselves know how I lived amongst you from the very first day that I set foot in this province of Asia. Will you be able to say that to your colleagues, friends at school? That I'm not just testifying to Jesus, but my very life is testifying to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you to check your walk, to check your tongue, how you use your language in your workplace? For those who are married, can I encourage you to pay attention to your marriage? It brings disgrace to the gospel when you are telling people of the saving merits of Jesus Christ and your marriage is not reflecting that grace that you are speaking about. You are harsh to your spouse, but you are telling us of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't see that grace displayed in your very house. Can I encourage you to pay attention in the area of finances? If something happens when Black Friday hits, and in every shop you go, there is sale, 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 50%. And people just go absolutely berserk and crazy and spend more than they earn and bring disgrace to the gospel. Because now you are constantly in trouble financially, not because you don't have an income, but because you are mismanaging your income and living above your means. Pay careful attention to your morality. Pay careful attention to your work ethic. Paul says, you know that these hands of mine provided. He says, I worked very, very hard while I was amongst you. I was entitled to be paid by you, but I forwent that. I said, don't worry about it. I will work with my own hands in order to set an example for you. Secondly, as he speaks to these guys, he's been telling them about trials and difficulties that are awaiting him and that he has already experienced. And now he begins to tell them that likewise, you are going to have trouble. He says to them, you are going to have fierce wolves amongst you that are going to come from the outside. But he also says there's going to be fierce wolves that are going to arise within amongst your very selves. Some of you elders sitting here with me are going to become wolves as soon as I leave here. And wolves are antithetical to Paul and to his ministry. Paul gave. Paul served. Paul was self less. The wolves are selfish. They put themselves in the center of everything. And in order to be effective at what they are doing, he says they will say twisted things. Another version says perverse things. They prepare the sheep to give to them. And so in order to do that, they begin to speak twisted things. And eventually they are going to kill the very sheep, because that's what wolves do. They will give them false doctrines, put themselves at the center, and eventually destroy the very sheep of God, the very flock that the Holy Spirit has made them to become overseers. And so he's warning them. He says, be careful of the wolves that demand and demand and demand, that are drawing disciples after themselves. Be very, very careful of that. I want to warn you, when you listen to people preaching, you need to ask yourself whether they are, in their conduct and their message, whether they are bringing people to themselves instead of bringing people to Christ, and instead of being selfless amongst the people of God. And then very importantly, he commends these guys to God and to the word of his grace, especially because as an apostle he was leaving, and they could always count on him when there was any doctrinal problems. He says, I am now leaving. The only thing that is going to save you is the word of God and the grace of God. He says, and I'm commending you, elders, and I want to say by extension, I'm commending every Christian. The only thing that will protect you from wolves is competence in the word of God and reliance on the grace of God. And then again, lastly, he points to his conduct and the conduct of Jesus Christ. He says, let's read it. He says in verse 35, he says, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, Paul is saying, amongst you, I gave. I wasn't a taker amongst you. I wasn't asking people to follow me. I wasn't demanding rights, my own rights, and asserting myself amongst you. Because I didn't do that. Why? Because Jesus Christ set that example in giving himself for us. And also in speaking these words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lastly, I want to say, leave you with these words of application in our lives. And for those of you that we will not see on Christmas Day as we gather here, can I encourage you to give yourself to the word of God? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Can I encourage you to pursue your own calling and mission? We said Paul was very, very clear about what it was that God had called him, and that helped him to have priorities in life. And can I encourage you to serve God with all diligence? Paul says, I lift you. You yourselves know how I lift amongst you from the very first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and also with tears because of the trials that I experienced amongst you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And Merry Christmas to those that I will not see on Christmas Day. Amen.